today we're talking about what it is that keeps people from committing to each other. In other words, what is it that's keeping the single rate so high and keeping people from committing to long-term relationships?
Uncertainty.
People have a lot of difficulty with uncertainty and with not knowing exactly how things are going to go. Well, I think there's a bunch of different factors that keep people from being able to commit to one another. And I think that it's going to be different issues for different people. I think, firstly, there's the fact that the whole dynamic of the community, the concept of community, has changed dramatically over the course of centuries. Even as far back as 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago, the role that the community played was a much more significant role to the role the community plays now, and the whole way in which community operates and functions is completely different. I mean, where even as far back as 30 years ago, community meant people connecting in person and individually. Now, community for a lot of people is online. And it's people aren't actually having as many opportunities to connect face to face. And the way that people connect is, by and large, electronic.
I never use Facebook or anything like that.
No, as you have it open, as you're talking to me right now, rude one.
This is work.
Back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
Community, right. So some people have Facebook communities and some people have real communities. I mean, not that they can't be one and the same, but the fact that the way in which people connect with one another has changed so dramatically has really changed people's needs around, and people don't have as great a need to connect on an emotional level in person anymore. And I believe that this has been one factor that's definitely keeping people from being able to commit, because they realize that there's such a huge amount of people that they can connect with, and it's really hard to just pin one down. I think that's one part of it.
Right.
I think that's one issue. Other issues are fear associated with establishing intimate relationships, and this is a huge topic. I mean, books and volumes of books are written about this topic, and by and large, this has something to do with the connection that one would have established with their parents if they established difficult attachments early on in their life with their parents and they haven't worked through these attachment issues, then it will be difficult for them to establish a long-term connection with a partner down the track.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of the fear
earlier, I mean, I guess it goes back to the sibling rivalry that Abe was talking about. Your early relationships frame how you relate to people.
Exactly. So if you didn't learn good social skills, and then it's difficult for you to connect with other people because you can't even communicate what your needs and wants are, on a regular sort of basis, then it's really difficult.
Yeah,
but I think it's more than that.
There's a wisdom there.
No, but I think it's more than that's just the communication issue. I think it's actually being able to feel like you want to be with somebody for more than 3 seconds at a time. And, I mean, if you just see with parents, I mean, particularly in the last, 30, 40 years, when women started going to work more and started leaving their children with various caretakers and things like that, that will have an impact on your child's ability to connect with others later on, especially if your child has a variety of different carers rather than just yourself or just one person. That will make it a lot harder for your child to then go on and establish a long-term... It could have an impact on your child's ability to have a long-term relationship down the track. So these are things that people need to think about, from the moment your child is born. And these are things that people didn't know about so much in the last 30, 40 years. Well, they didn't.
No.
But that doesn't mean that all is lost. It just means that to be aware of these things.
You say that people didn't know, but everybody knows. I mean, there's a common wisdom in... A happy home breeds happy children. So, I mean,
that's definitely key. That doesn't, right. But, I mean, you could have a happy home, but you could also have had your child looked after by several different people because one or both of you were out working.
Right.
And that, I mean, that doesn't mean that your home was unhappy. It just means that you were busy elsewhere. It's not necessary to put the blame on the parents. It's about understanding, what factors might contribute to people having difficulty connecting with long-term partners down the track.
Right.
That's really what it is. But you're right. It is happiness in the home is very central.
We're talking to our regular therapist, family therapist, not more than a family therapist. You like
marriage and family therapist.
Marriage. I always do that. Marriage and family therapist.
It's a mouthful.
Therapist, Mickey Levin-Pell, who is an Australian New York Israeli. And
my son's worse. He's an Australian, New York, Israeli, Englishman. Because he's got four passports.
Yeah, because you're married to a Brit.
Maybe I shouldn't actually announce it on air.
No.
You don't have immigration address.
In this country.
He can get four pensions if he worked in all those four countries.
Now that you should announce, because actually you should get quiet and plan for his entire life to retire.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. So, shall we carry on?
Absolutely.
Okay, so some other issues that I think are keeping people from connecting with one another are having, as you said, poor parenting models. Right. In other words, like if their parents stayed together for the sake of the children and they had a really difficult dynamic, a difficult marriage dynamic, and the child saw a lot of that, then they wouldn't really feel very inspired to want to go and get married. And that's kept a lot of people from, you know, from going and wanting to repeat that scenario if they haven't worked through that themselves.
I've often wondered in myself on some level why it took me to this age to get married. As a religious Jew, I really think that there was only one person I was going to marry, and it somehow took a long time to find her. But you know,
that's a whole nother show.
My parents are divorced, and I thought, does that affect me? I don't know.
Well, you see, I think the fact that your parents got divorced might have been a good thing. That's what I'm trying to say here.
I think they think the same thing as well.
But yes. No, I mean, I think a lot of parents look. I think a lot of parents maybe stay together a bit, either stay together longer or don't work through their issues earlier.
Right.
There's a whole range of ways of looking at that, and I think that people who just stay together for the sake of the children are not doing their children a service. If they stay together because they actually want to work through the difficulties that they have, that's another story. And there might be some ups and downs, as there are in all relationships, and that's very normal and healthy. But it's really important for people to acknowledge when they're starting to struggle and not wait for things to just completely hit the fan and for the children to have to be privy to that, because it's not helpful. It's really important to get help as early as possible. So that, I mean, right. Not only for your own sake, for your own happiness, but also for the happiness of your children.
Right. I mean, who wants... I know that I've always been able, you know, just almost immediately known at Kids in Club, once I've got to know them, that there's something not right.
Yeah.
Even if it's not, you can tell. And I know that all other educators, I'm sure my wife can tell you from her two-year-olds
right.
when something's not right at home. And the
Absolutely.
Parents are all, no, everything's fine. I'm sure she could. And I've been through this for years with my kids right. that I work with.
Yeah. That's absolutely correct. So I guess that's another issue that I'm talking about. That's keeping people from connecting with their with future partners, is they just don't actually have a good model in their minds of people who had successful marriages. Perhaps maybe you know, for some people who've had grandparents who've had good relationships, or friends, cousins, neighbors, family members, if they've seen those models, that will be much more helpful for them. But if they can't even connect with one particular couple model in their minds, then it's going to be really difficult to feel inspired to want to connect with somebody
right.
and to get married.
I mean, why would you?
Right. It's like, what's it all about?
I could tell you with absolute honesty that there was a fear of commitment on my part.
As there should be with everybody,
right.
but it's a matter of breaking through that.
But that fear disappeared. I was at no point in the process of being engaged, or even getting engaged, scared. I had no cold feet whatsoever. And I could say that with absolute honesty.
Fantastic.
That if you meet a certain person, the fear disappears. For me.
That's good that it worked that way for you. I don't know. I think that probably you were at the right stage.
Surprise
and Tammy happened to rock
up. Surprised the heck out of me, I have to tell you. But there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, I think you're probably more at the right stage of your life, more than anything.
This week, Mickey is talking about relationships and commitment particularly.
Commitment phobia.
Commitment phobia, what keeps people from making commitments, and
yeah.
maybe a little bit about what happens when you do make the commitment with your little timid.
Just a little bit about, yeah, we can talk a bit about that. I just want to talk a little bit more, if we can, about some of the other factors that I think are keeping people from making commitments. I think that the fact, ever since the advent of, say, Sex and the City and shows like that, I think it's made the whole look of singleness look very glamorous. And I think there's lots of stuff in the media about...
There's no glamour.
About single life. I mean, even if you are a religious Jew, let's face it, there's a very supportive community in the single world. Pretty much wherever you live these days, there's a good single community in London and in New York and Jerusalem, even in Melbourne. Not New Zealand, though. And I'm not too sure about South Africa.
There must be singles in New Zealand. I mean,
There are. That's why they all shift over to Melbourne, because they can't find anybody in New Zealand.
And they go back. It's like Los Angeles. The Jewish
yes.
single scene. I mean, there is a Jewish single scene.
LA, sure.
But for the people from the modern Orthodox community, they go to New York. They go to school in New York. They meet their
partner
spouses,
and they slip back to LA.
A percentage of them come back, because let's
sure.
face it, LA's got like the best standard of living in the world. So.
Well, we're not going to go there. But, let's just face it, single life is looking more and more glamorous these days, and there's also a lot more opportunity if you're just wanting to have children, let's just say, and you're not wanting to have a long-term relationship, you could do that quite easily. And it you know, it sort of serves a lot of the same purpose. And for a lot of people who, you know, I mean, look, marriage is a lot of work. You're just at the beginning of it, Adam, but it really is a lot of work.
It's easy. I don't know what you all talk about.
Well, people think that once they... Yeah.
I'm joking.
people think that once they get married, that's it. They don't have to work on themselves anymore. That they have, they could stop growing. They could stop looking after their health. They could become big fat schlubs. And life is wonderful. Yes, I see that pot belly coming up there, Adam.
You know what?
You can't hide it anymore.
It's been a week of marriage, but I've only put up 16 pounds.
That's good.
So, you know, we're burning off so much.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Can
but...
I tell you something? Can I tell you something? Her old apartment is three stories up. Ours is three stories up. Just getting the boxes down and up and down and up every single day because we're moving bit by bit.
You're getting fitter.
Never mind the shopping. I'm getting fitter.
That's great. Thank God for that.
Just that alone.
Yeah. So, but that's just one area of growth, of course. But a lot of people do think that once you get married, you could stop growing and that's it. And, you know, Bob's your uncle. But the reality is that the differences that you bring to marriage actually can inspire you to grow and actually force you to grow. And for people who are fearful of that type of growth, it's very scary and it's very confronting, and people don't really want to think about that too much sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think you also get in I suppose the classic word is a rut.
A rut.
But I remember in my 20s, I was a typical slobby male student-y type. And at some point, I was working hard, I was making a little bit more money, I didn't want to come home to that.
Right.
And suddenly my digs became a home. I remember my mom commenting in LA, all of a sudden she turned up and she's like, this isn't good.
No.
Because she came in and everything was nice and clean and I had plates that matched and they weren't chipped anymore and there wasn't growth at the bottom of my mugs and my laundry was being done and I got into a routine of living in a certain way.
Right.
And from that point onwards, I actually think that I got very set in my ways. Very comfortable, and I lived much more comfortably.
Right.
But it isn't shalom, you know, it isn't a complete experience, but it feels complete.
That's exactly right. It can feel complete. And for people also who are looking for growth within, you know, just within their single life, there's a lot of ways in which you can get it now that you couldn't get it previously. I mean, there's just so many opportunities, particularly, you know, living in Jerusalem, there's just so many opportunities to learn and to grow within yourself. And some people are fearful of giving that up. So there's both sides of looking at it.
You're me a year ago.
Right.
What do you do? How do you shake up your life? What do you
How do you get out of it? Well, you have to. Well, the first thing is you have to really acknowledge what is it that's keeping yourself single. A lot of people say, oh, well, it's just because I haven't found the right person. Baloney. The reality is you're probably not the right person for yourself yet. You're probably actually not content and happy with where you are. And that takes a lot. It takes a really strong, big person to say that. And I know so many people who've told me, you know, people who get married at later in life, and then when they find that right person, they say, you know what? I realized that when I was 20, when I was 30, I just wasn't the right person. I wasn't happy with myself, but I was just too scared to acknowledge that to myself. I was too scared to, you know, do some therapeutic work myself, or just to do something different to make me happier with who I am.
Right.
And there's a range of different reasons why people aren't happy with themselves. So that's one issue. One thing to look at. The other things you have to look at are, you know, what fears you actually have about being married, and really acknowledge them, own them, so you could work through them. Because if you just push your fears away and say, no, they don't exist. I know some people like to work that way and they think, well, if I just stop thinking about it, everything will be right. Sorry, no, it's deep in your subconscious. It's just not going to get out. You have to work through your fears, because otherwise they're going to come out in very negative ways and they're going to bite you in the bum.
Right. I mean, I think I, as I said to you, I don't know exactly what held me back, but I knew things were. So I made a very conscious decision. I had to do something. And what did I have to do? I had to shake up my life and really come out of my comfort zone. Can I tell you exactly why I was single? No, but I also understood why I needed to not be single.
Right. So that's another way of looking at it. So you're understanding why you want to be married.
I know you're tight on time today. Can we finish with some strategies to get yourself to that point?
Okay. Number one, acknowledge your fears. If you can't do that on your own, find yourself a good therapist. I know a few, and start working on them. Start working on those fears and what it is that's keeping you from progressing and moving forward. Number two, be the right person for yourself. Be happy within yourself, and figure out what it is about yourself that you're not happy with and that you feel is not good enough, because that's often a very strong reason as to what keeps people from being able to be the right person to get married and to find other people that want to marry them. Number three is be less critical of yourself and allow yourself to make mistakes and to flop a bit, and allow people to nurture you. Allow space for people to come into your life. Create a space for people to come into your life and to establish strong friendships. I think if you, you know, because marriage is really about establishing a strong friendship. So if you could first...
Oh, handsome, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have good, strong friends, particularly of the same sex, that's really important to have good, strong friends of the same sex that you could really talk to and nurture, then you could extrapolate from that to relationships with the opposite partner. But if you even struggle already to have those safer relationships, then it's going to be that much harder to establish that a less safe feeling relationship. Acknowledge what it is that you love about single life, and acknowledge what it is that you feel you might be giving up as a single, and think about what it is that you want in married life. Is it because you just want to be able to kick back, relax, and stop growing, or is it because you're wanting to grow more? And think about all the things that you're wanting and needing in a partner, and understanding what your needs are in a relationship is absolutely crucial. And not that you're going to have somebody else meet them for you, but that you first have to meet them for yourself. You can tell I think about this a hell of a lot. This is one of my major issues.
No, I can tell.
This is, you've got to think about what you need first and get the majority of your needs met, and be able to communicate them to a potential partner, and not be too scared of doing that, and not fear that you're going to be rejected as a result. So there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done,
right,
really, at the end of the day.
It's been a fabulous topic today, but really interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mickey. Great. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.